Log Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you guys.
Smooth.
Drama.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N-Word. I want you to holler at me, so give me a call, 347-826-7435. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. And if you're afraid to call me, feel free to email your boy, smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com. Questions, comments, concerns, I want to hear from you. Please, holler at me. So if you're not going to call me, email a brother. Or hey, jump up in the chat room, say hey. Saying hey to all my viewers right now. What's up? Also, join my Facebook page. Go to the Smooth Drama page on Facebook. Request to join in. Myself, Mr. J, we will hook you up. Cause, you know, we like to have a little fun in there and talk a taste on this and that, from sneakers to hats. Saints. That's what I'm talking about. All right. Let's get down to business. Oh, man. Had a great weekend. I mean, last week, I got to hang out with the homies. Shout out to the homies, King Midas and Space Bunny Jefferson from Radio Galaxy. They came to Oakland. And if you follow me on Facebook, you saw the videos they set off. Before I go on, I got to say, I have Instagram. So go to Instagram, Smooth Drama Radio. Look me up. Add me, follow me. I'll follow you back. Next week, we can follow each other visually. And for my correspondent out there, my beautiful life correspondent, I got you. I am putting pictures up, okay? I am putting pictures up. Hello. Now, speaking of, was at Modesto Con. Some of you don't know, not only do I do the radio show, but I'm a comic book publisher. And we publish nice comic books like Minute the Mighty, you know. Some of y'all always talking about where the black superheroes, where the independent black comics at. Right here. Y'all should check us out, npccomics.com. Hit us up. You know, I mean, talking about being a role model. We talk about you ain't got no positive images. Ain't true. They there. Minute the Mighty. We got Black Jack. And nobody named Jack. Bad joke. Anyway, Modesto. That's interesting. It's hard to describe it except for say that, you know, it's a place that you go to visit because you absolutely positively have. No reason to go there. So but I'll say this, that through time we've been to Modesto, it's been nothing but love. I have no negative words to say about Modesto whatsoever. Could live there. I mean, I did slip up and say on video I could live there, but I said I could live there if they had more stuff to do there. Obviously, that is not true. So, that's it. Shout out to Modesto. All my people in the M. I'm tossing up the M from Modesto right now. It's the W upside down. I'm tossing up the M from Modesto. y'all represent. And they have great Mexican food there. I don't know. I was just reaching for stuff to talk about in Modesto. All right. Now let's talk about rappers. Tyler, the Creator. He's come out the closet on his latest album called Flower Boy. He's like, yeah, next line will have him like, whoa, I've been kissing white boys since 2004. And I'm like, yeah, that's real hardcore lyrics right there. My thing is, all right, if there are no heterosexual rappers left, I mean, it's like what you got like Jay-Z and maybe Kendrick Lamar. Everybody's gay. It's not even heroic no more to come out as homosexual, right? I mean, because that's the thing. You know, everybody's like, oh, it's so heroic. They're coming out the closet and, you know, telling people that they're gay. But I'm like, hold on a second. I know we're in a bizarro world. I'm saying this. If everybody's gay, wouldn't it be heroic to come out as heterosexual? Just feel me for a second. Because for the most part, it's that unwritten rule, law, understanding that most record company execs are gay. Most people in Hollywood are gay. Most people in politics, contrary to popular belief, are gay. So I'm like, the heroism that and the heroic that is coming out as gay, I don't see it. Because if everybody's gay, what's the big deal? I'm like, I'm waiting on somebody to come out as heterosexual. Like, you know, a dude just comes out, I fuck women. I'm a rapper, I fuck women. It's hard out here. You know, I go to the concerts, I'm on tour, and it's a bunch of guys waiting in the back. I ain't feeling it. You know, where that rapper at talking about the honeys? I mean, because ain't no rappers. I mean, you know, Tyler, the Creator, come out. He been kissing white boys since 2004, according to him. Yeah, I'm like, ain't no, it's no heroism. I'm like, it's a challenge. Y'all got to challenge these rappers. Hey, who's going to come out as heterosexual? I mean, it's no heterosexual rappers left. It's none. We need some heteros now because, you know, if everybody's gay, you know, what are we going to talk about? I know one thing. I'm tired of talking about this. I am going to talk about something that was hetero, but kind of different also. The Joker got shot. Apparently there was a party this weekend, and it was a Batman party, and the Joker and Harley Quinn were there. It was some adult themed dress up party called Saints and Sinners, and law enforcement arrived after receiving a report that a man had a gun. And according to the statement, police were attempting to speak to the man when he pulled out a handgun. And they asked him to drop the weapon. He did not drop it when they asked him to. And so he shot in the torso. And his woman got shot in the leg. Now, before we get into what I always get into, I'm not gonna say ask what the race was, I'm going to say that when the police said they ran up to him, they approached him, he was in a compromising position with his partner. Now, compromising position at an adult themed party called Saints and Sinners is what? I mean, you know, we ain't talking about the ethnicity of the person. I think y'all already know because they asked him to put the gun down after he pulled it out. But the question is, did he really pull out a gun? Or did he have something else in his hand? I'm just saying, he's in a compromising position. You know, you in that compromising position, you're like, and then the police roll up. Now, I can't speak for anybody else, but if I'm speaking for myself, I'm saying if I'm in a compromising position and the police roll up, you know, if I pull my man's out, it may or may not look like a weapon to the police. I mean, we know that they are not giving eye tests to the police. They have shot a lot of people. And, you know, apparently the scene is, it's, you know, there's some eye chart issues with police. And the fact that they said, oh, the gun was aimed at him, he had a handgun, but it wasn't a handgun. That's what I'm saying. Hypothetically speaking, it may not have been a handgun. It might have been something else when he was in that compromising position. He had to unposition himself and boom. I don't know. It just sounds funny. And in fact, we know that he was Caucasian because they asked him to put the gun down. And when they shot him in the torso. So that's, you don't need a third fact. I mean, they asked him a question. You ask a question when you know what ethnicity is, because if it was black, aborigine, whatever, they'd have bust a cap in him. A huge cap in him. Now, and chocolate not show is an hour long. Now, I'm sorry, ladies. I got some bad news for you. Don't shoot the messenger. According to the University of California, Berkeley, smelling your food could be causing you to gain weight. It ain't stress, you know, if you're a black mother and worrying about your kid going out there being shot by the police. It's the smell of your food. How did they find it out? I know it's shocking. You're like, what? I don't have to eat it to gain weight. Now, hear me out. Apparently, the researchers at Berkeley, they came to this conclusion using gene therapy to remove sensory smell in obese mice. Scientists found that the mice who couldn't smell ended up losing weight as opposed to the mice who could smell. You know, and the study concluded that smelling food causes the body to store the energy rather than burn. Now, my thought is this. So you can smell gain weight and sort of energy rather than burn it off. So that applies to everything else. So I mean, technically, I guess it does. If somebody is like, if they stink, they pulse you, and you're just automatically like turned off. And that's it, and all your touchdown. Conversely, I guess if they smell good, you're turned on. So maybe that's the thing that works with your food, right? Where you're like, ooh, maybe you're fat, you gain weight by smelling your food. That's a different one. I'm curious what y'all think about that. email the brother, smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com. I want to hear from y'all. Once again, smoothdrama.com. Or you can just call up the show. Or you can just jump in the chat room here and say what you got to say. I'd be curious to hear from y'all. In the meantime, me thinks I'm going on break here. This is Jay-Z. Oh, before I go on break, 9 days to OJ. Yeah, I'm on the countdown. 9 days to OJ. Are you ready? I know I'm ready. If you know what I'm talking about, I am talking about his parole hearing. I can't help it. I wanted it, guys. And the story, I let Jay-Z tell it. This is the story of OJ. right, welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N Word. That was Jay-Z. You know, the story of OJ. No matter what, know who you are. Once again, 9 days and counting. We get to see the whatchamacallit. We get to see OJ's parole hearing. And yeah, I'm going to be watching because it's going to be funny. 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. And as I always say, if you're afraid to give me a call, email the brother, smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com. Questions, comments, concerns, email me. I will answer any and all questions. Ain't nothing above me. I'm way up here when it comes to answering questions. I don't care. Anyway, I'm always talking about bad police stories because it's rare that you have any good ones. But I'm going to talk about some positivity in the book. I can't even play. I'm trying. Apparently, in Muskogee, Oklahoma, Brandon Thompson, on 4th of July, he had 6 felony warrants, and the police rolled up on him on Independence Day. They rolled up on him on Independence Day. Get it? Anyway. And they served his warrants and was like, hey, it's time for you to go. I'm taking you to jail. On Independence Day. Anyway. Brandon Thompson asked the police officer, can I propose? Officers, you want to do what? I want to propose to her. And so the arresting officer who cuffed him while he was celebrating Independence Day, but also, he was born on the 4th of July, apparently. They took pity on him. And in the police body camera footage of the encounter, the officer switched his handcuffs from the back to the front so he can place the engagement ring on her finger. And so it's on there. I love you. Will you be my wife, please? As he's going to jail. Ain't that a touching story? Don't that make y'all hearts feel all warm and scuzzy and oozy and cute inside? It's like, Oh, the police, they're so nice. They uncuffed him from the back and they cuffed him in the front because he was going to propose. Unfortunately, they came to arrest him on July 4th. on Independence Day. Yeah. And him celebrating his birthday, and I guess you're going to go out. That's the way you're going to go. Hey, I'm proposing to you before I go to jail because I'm going to jail. Why I tell that story, I don't even know. But, yeah, that's my positive police story for the year, maybe a decade. I don't know. We'll see how long it lasts. I thought that was amazingly funny. What's not funny, though, the U.S. Supreme Court lifts the block on the Wisconsin cocaine mom law during appeal. Now, if you don't know what the cocaine mom law is, it was a law that was imposed last April by federal judge in Madison, Wisconsin, that allows the police to detain pregnant women suspected of abusing drugs or alcohol while the state appeals. So Ruth Bader Ginsburg and Sonia Sotomayor, they would have kept the injunction in place. Everybody else is like, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. Now this comes on top of Wisconsin's Unborn Child Protection Act, which was enacted in 1998, which gives the courts the power over any expectant mother who habitually lacks self-control over drugs or alcohol, placing an unborn child at risk. And the law allows officials to hold the pregnant woman in custody if she refuses treatment. Now this comes from a Wisconsin resident, Tamara Lorcher, who sued the state officials in 2014 at a hospital in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, reported her for testing positive for methamphetamine and marijuana while she was 3 months pregnant. Now, she said she had stopped using the drugs, but a juvenile court judge jailed her for 18 days until she agreed to be assessed by a drug treatment facility. Now, she submitted to weekly drug testing and gave birth to a healthy baby boy. Now, the lawyer, Jeff Bowen, said he was disappointed with the decision to keep the law in place, noting that the lower court ruling was based on extensive evidence. Now, I asked the ladies and gentlemen listening and watching, what do you think of that? I mean, for me, I can't say that I have a real problem with it. I'm like, if you own that shit, any shit that's detrimental to the child. I mean, because it's one thing to abuse your body when you're a grown up and you're not responsible for anything, that's fine, you know. You mess yourself up. But when you're pregnant and you're carrying a kid, if you're not being as health conscious as possible, I mean, I think you're being very, very irresponsible. Now, you know, she sued. Now, not being racial, but Tamara Lorcher sounds like a Tamara Lorcher, and the fact that she even get to court after testing positive for methamphetamines and marijuana and have the I would say temerity, but that's not a strong enough word. I would say the audacity. Like in Mo Better Blue, you had audacity. Anyway, that you to sue when you was on methamphetamines and marijuana while pregnant. You know, I'm of the belief that the best thing you could ever do for your kid is to, one, just be healthy and give the child pristine health. Then, after the child's born and you've done some breastfeeding, but I guess if you're one of them people that just, you can't stay healthy, I gotta smoke some weed as soon as I get out, then, you know, Similac, whatever. But the fact that you have people who, it's even a debate, I don't understand it. But see, this is what I say when we say that bizarre world thing, right? Where stuff that makes sense, you know, I mean, I don't really have a problem with the cocaine mom thing. Now, I've been talking the past year about this opioid crisis that supposedly is out there, which is a legal drug crisis, which it's not really. I mean, I guess it's an inner city thing also, but it's more of a crisis because going through it, where folks is just strung out on drugs, whatnot, and it is supposedly a bad thing. You know, now I would say that some people would say it's karma. I always go good old fashioned Malcolm X with this, hey, chickens come home to roost. It started off with you guys in the suburbs selling it to people in the hood, and when it eventually circles back around and gets back to you, you can't take it. It's like, well, welcome to the party and more power to you. And speaking of which, when we talk about marijuana, I read something that I was like, no, I cannot believe it, but I can't believe it. Apparently, Washington, D.C., the D.C. Council in particular, they'll be giving preferential medical marijuana permits to minority-owned businesses. Now, I'm a conspiracy theorist. So, and I believe that I remember hearing Trump and his advisors talking about repealing some of the legalization of marijuana. You know, they talked about it. And so to see Washington, D.C. will be giving preferential medical marijuana permits to minority-owned businesses, I'm like, Now, here's the thing, though. Just like it used to be where they said that we're going to look out for minorities and we're going to take care of them because it's making up for what we did to y'all in the past. I mean, cause the laws are pretty straightforward with some of the criteria. Where some of the new criteria is like you have to have $1 million in assets. So that cuts off a lot of people, right? And then you also have to have access to a water supply, your own water supply. And I harken you back to a case that I talked about here on the show where you had a couple who owned land, took a lake on it, and they were growing marijuana. And the county was like, no, that water belongs to us, even though it was on their land. And they said that you can't own the water that's on your land that you own. That water belongs to the state. It's kind of funny. It's like you own something that's on somebody else's property. That sounds familiar. It's so strange. It's like the American way, right? It's like we just show up. That's mine. Yes, I know it's yours, but it's actually mine. Anyway, and if you think it can't happen to you, you know there's such a thing as eminent domain, where even if you own property, if the government deems that it helps the community to take your property and do something else that would be beneficial to the community, they can take your property. Not that you're worrying about anything like that. I mean, because most folks, I mean, and if you're listening, you're probably a thousandaire anyway. I am in the Thousandaires Club. Like, I know y'all are in the Thousandaires Club. I hope everybody listening is in the Thousandaires Club, because if you're in the Hundredaires Club, I'm with you though. You know, I am with you. But anyway, yeah, Washington, D.C. will be giving preferential medical marijuana permits to minority-owned businesses. But the truth is, you're probably not going to get it, because once again, you have to meet the criteria. You got that $1 million in assets, then you have to prove how you got $1 million worth of assets, which is a whole nother thing. So if you've been illegal all your life and you're like, yeah, I got $1 million, but then you have to say that you're illegal, and then they're going to arrest you and put you in jail, so you can't do that. And you got to have that water supply if you're going to grow it, which, once again, because even if you're selling it, if you just have a dispensary, if you don't have the hookup with the person that grows it, then you're just a middleman. You still working for me. I mean, because my thought is that it's going to be like Philip Morris is going to run weed like they run tobacco. Same concept, you know, just different avenue. So where you're thinking that, oh, everybody's got a chance and the little man can get out there and sell marijuana legally, it's not going to happen. But I could be wrong. I could be just being a pessimist. But I would suggest to you history. Like, we have prohibition here in the United States. What happened? They put all the moonshiners out of business, and it was only once they legalized it again, it was only the big guys left standing. And if you tried to make your own, they'll put your ass in jail. Imagine that. You can't even make your own legally, because apparently making spirits on your own is against the law. But it's the law against thousandaires and nobody else. And speaking of thousandaires and my pettiness, I'm a petty guy. I've been known to be petty from time to time. You know, I'm just built that way. I read that Queen Elizabeth hires the first black equerry. Because I didn't know what the hell an equerry was. An equerry is just an assistant, like secretary. You know, you help the queen and everybody in the office needs. Basically, you're the servant. Now, I don't know if that's good or bad, you know, because there people were talking about how the royal family, how they never had any black assistants. And I'm like, okay. I mean, is that like a black first we want to aspire to? Like, well, hey, the queen ain't never had a black equerry. It's like, man, do you know what an equerry is? I didn't. And I'm going to guess most of y'all ain't never heard of the term. So when I saw it, you know, it's like, yeah, she hired the first one. I'm like, Now what the equerry does also is he can handle the command troops during the Queen's birthday parade and serve as court commander during the royal wedding. Yep. Ain't that something? It's a new black first. I know all of y'all like cheering. And if you're not cheering, I mean, if you can't hear it, then let me get them cheers out there right now. There you go. We got a black equerry now. Shit, that's it. We take over. I'm going to break. I've used myself up. This is my one of my favorite song that drove me crazy and had me running in concert down in San Diego at my first concert. This is Public Enemy. And the first song that ever made me fall in love with him. Public Enemy, number one. Because that's me. I like to think that I'm a public. I might not be number one, but if I was going to be a public enemy, I would try to be number one. Because if you're like public enemy number two in them other countries, you know how the CIA, they're always killing the number two guy. I don't want to be number two. Number one, like public enemy. Public enemy number one, y'all.
Yo, Chuck, what's the move, man? I'm all the way up here in the studio, you know what I'm saying? And this brother shot me and asked me, yo, what's up with that brother Chuck? He's way tight. I said, yo, brother, I'm way tight. He knows he's tight, you know what I'm saying? Yo, Chuck, you got a brother, 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 what goes on? What goes on?
Just got caught. You're going out of order. And now you're the report.
together you got the smooth drummer.
Welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N Word. That was Public Enemy. Public Enemy number one. 347-826-7435 is the caller number. Once again, that calling number is 347-826-7435. And I'm just asking, you know, if you want to holler at your boy, email me questions, comments, concerns. Smooth Drama at smoothdrama.com. I also I have a survey for y'all. If you're interested in taking my survey, feel free to email me smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com, and I will shoot you the survey, and you can hit me back with it, and you know, share the results a little bit later on in the numbers, and then bam. So, if you're interested, smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com, and I will hook you up if you hook me up with your email address. In the meantime, I think you know what time it is. If you don't know what time it is Groundhog Day. What is Groundhog Day? Groundhog Day is the same thing that happens again and 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 again. And it doesn't stop. It won't stop. It can't stop. It's that we here at Smooth Drama, we always talk about the racism that just can't stop, won't stop. It's every day. No matter you wake up with hat on, hat off, drawers on, drawers off. Doesn't matter what day, daytime, nighttime, anytime's the right time, Groundhog Day. And if you don't know, I let my homie say
that shit happened again? Oh, hell no.
What is that shit that happened again? Ku Klux Klan members and supporters shouted white power at a rally on Saturday in Charlottesville, Virginia, where they protested against the city council's decision to remove a statue honoring Confederate General Robert E. Lee. Now, I think most of y'all know Robert E. Lee was the general who let the people who were traitors against the United States, just in case some of y'all are patriots, because like I said, remember last week at this time, everybody was popping off. Everybody had their patriotic drawers on, if you wore any. And they had their patriotic shirts on, if you wore any. You know, everybody was patriotic, whatnot. Once again, they're celebrating. And we're talking about, we're like 152 years in celebrating that L. And all the racist people. And if we're just... if we're just talking politics, we're talking about people who are unpatriotic against the United States. You know how hard it is to talk like that? Yeah. These crackers, I can say that with all my heart. So these crackers are out there rallying and shouting. And I mean, I'm racist because I said cracker ass crackers when I should be saying terrorist ass terrorists, which is what they are. They there's no positive function. Now, I know they say that they're progressive white people who are into the preservation of their heritage. But as we know, their heritage is basically hanging black folks and cutting their balls off and titties off and thinking, ha, 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 and putting their dicks in jars. That's the Klan's legacy. Hanging black people, lynching black people, and cutting body parts off and keeping them in jars. to preserve, like trophies, because that's the lick. Now, if you don't believe me, because, you know, most folks don't believe me. But, you know, y'all have Google. Yeah, Wikipedia. There are plenty of online images that you can call up. You know, you Google it. I mean, you can have Siri, Cortana, whatever, your Amazon Echo. They will all substantiate what we're talking about here. Just in case you're a skeptic. I know most of my listeners aren't skeptics, but just in case there's one or two of you out there, you want to test the facts, go ahead. But remember, these are the people that we're talking about. They're Confederate flags, and they're racist attitudes. Now, I've had a listener or two who would say, I'm too harsh in wishing cancer and all kinds of bad things on these people. But, I mean, I just say, well, I mean, if you can point out why they deserve anything nice to be said about them, I mean, you know, and it's the thing when we talk about black people who defend the people who hate them the most. Now, I'm not, you know, I don't paint it as a broad on a broad spectrum. Oh, all white people are evil, the devil, whatever you want to call it. I'm just gonna say, when they're in the KKK, I think we can suspend our moral high ground. You know, because they don't have any, and I don't think we should have any either. When it comes to them, you know, because what are we talking about? They want to honor people who hated us. Can't say I'm down for that one. Can't say that it's my thing to roll with. But that's just me. I've never thought much of them and the whole their heroes. I mean, case in point, police officer. I'm gonna keep talking about this punk motherfucker in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. He filed a lawsuit, and he named DeRay McKesson and four other Black Lives Matter leaders as defendants and sought at least $75,000 in damage because he was shot that month. Last year, he was shot by a person violently protesting against the police. And he said the violence was caused by or contributed to by the leaders of and by Black Lives Matter. Now, he's not named in the lawsuit, you know, which tells you even more about his punk ass character. I mean, because it's not too far off from the Klansmen we talk about. Because once again, you have folks, they have their sheets on, they have their masks on, you know, because they, you know, they can't stand up to the scrutiny of folks knowing who they are. Because they're haters like that, and they're bitch made like that. Because they'll only come for you when they have the statistical advantage. They can't come for you one on one. They gonna have a whole bunch of them because that's how they're built. And this particular individual here, who ain't shit, never will be shit. And I'm thinking right now, shit is mad at me because I'm comparing shit to this unnamed individual who is suing folks who are protesting bad treatment by the police. I mean, this is akin to me whooping somebody's ass every day. And when they protest against me and get mad at me for beating their ass every day, and they beat me up, I sue them because they have the nerve to be mad at me because I'm beating them up. Now, obviously, I'm being nice here because we know the police. I mean, not even going to go into detail all the ways that we figured out how we can't not be shot by the police. I mean, it's just, as it stands now, there's no way. I mean, every way you can be shot by the police, it has been exhibited. And as I talked about earlier in the show, there's a guy who pulled a gun out. Now, a joke, maybe he pulled his penis out and they thought it was a weapon. But actually, he pulls out a handgun and they tell him, hey, put the handgun away. And he still gets shot in the torso. Now, we have police officers suing citizens because they don't want to get hurt. I mean, because this is what we're talking about. We don't want to be hurt. We don't want to be killed. As one comedian said, our lives just matter. Just matter. We just don't want to get killed. I don't want to get stopped and shot because I'm not committing a crime. Seems like simple stuff, but I mean these folks. I mean this is where it's so horrible it becomes comical because they're mad at you because you want to be treated correctly. To the point where, you know, one, they'll shoot at you and kill you because you want to be treated fairly, which makes no sense. And they'll sue you because you have the nerve to be angry about being disrespected and not treated fairly like the ideals of this country is supposed to represent, which are So, what do we do? Apparently, if you don't want to be shot fatally, you have to wear a Joker costume and hopefully you can like paint yourself all white with the lipstick, whatnot. And, you know, so long as if you're in that prone position like homie and you pull your dick out, you have painted that white too. This way, you know for sure, the worst you'll get is shot in the torso. Now, you may need hip replacement surgery, but, you know, artificial hips, it's all right. Just an idea. And on that note, I'm Mr. F the N-Word. This was another Smooth Drama production. I want to thank all my listeners. And I'm out. Peace.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her head.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got smooth.
Drama.